It is my honor, my pleasure. How many in here have not heard Adorna Carroll speak before? I told her I was going to make you sit up front so that we could see the deer in the headlight looks, that the rest of us all know what's coming. Adorna is absolutely one of our best resources for association executives. She does wonderful leadership trainings, and she was contacted by the AE Advisory Board and asked to create this session based on what we were observing and what she was observing going on in the marketplace and within our own associations. She is the owner-partner of Realty 3, a multi-office firm in Connecticut. She's president of Dynamic Directions, which is her educational sales and training consulting firm. She was honored as Connecticut's Educator of the Year in 1999 and has been named to the Reback Council's Hall of Fame. Adorna has authored several CE courses, 4 designation courses for the Women's Council of Realtors, and is also a founding partner and co-author of the SRS Sellers Representative Specialist Designation Course. But more than that, she is our ally, she is our friend, she is our confidant. She is the person that you can turn to after she comes and does a session for you. She does not forget anyone, and she is always there to help. And with that said, I would like to introduce to you to Adorna Carroll.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Deb. Okay, here we go. Let me get this adjusted. I'll stay down on the floor here. Okay. This is a different gig for me, but it kind of came out of a lot of phone calls that I have gotten in the last couple of years. I've made a lot of friends. There are a lot of friends here. Thank you for coming and supporting me like you always have. And I've cultivated some beautiful relationships over the years, for sure. One of trust, one of confidentiality, and just a mutual respect. I could never do what you do. I would be in jail for murder. I don't know how you do it. Honestly, I have no clue, but nonetheless, I do want to say thank you very much for trusting me the way that you have, and let's have a nice, candid conversation about some of the problems that are really out there. If I've done a really good job, please tell my 2 association executives who have really put up with me so long and so hard. You know, Dawn Calvo is a wonderful mentor. She's from the Midshore Association in Connecticut, and she's my local AE. Wonderful friend, just a great talent. The other one, of course, is the very patient Bob Kennedy, who is the state association executive, CEO. And he's a marvelous mentor. And I'm the product of those 2 individuals and about 3 other AEs. So I owe them my career, if you want to know the truth. And the problem is that your members don't understand that. You have such an awesome responsibility in handling people so that they could find the very best things in themselves. And the members just really don't look at you that way. Some of us do. I want you to know that we truly appreciate what you do, but most of them do not. You know, it's all about them. They're all wrapped up in their own heads, and they don't realize what you bring to the table. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate what you bring to the table and tell you that, you know, we really do a phenomenal job. And if no one said thank you lately, I just want to say thank you to you. Okay. let's look at some of the things that we've got to kind of keep in mind here. And I'm going to start out by saying that, I've recently, in the last couple of years, had too many friends give me a call and say I'm gone. It's always a shock to me. Not always. I should take that back. There are times in which I saw it coming, and I did tell them, and I would tell them, and I would tell you. I definitely saw it coming, because you've got someone who is percolating in your board of directors or your committee chairs that is starting to have aspirations of coming up. And honestly, I'm going to give you a piece of advice that I hope you'll take, and it's this: kill the monster while it's young. I am horrified by some of the behavior that I see out there. And I'm a realtor, okay? So I understand them because I am them, okay? I watch them and I know what's going on in their minds because, you know, for some, they are just kind of holding back, kind of getting the landscape. And some are perceiving you to be the enemy. And so let's look at some of the things right now that are creating some issues because, you know, the fact that you're really good at what you do is no longer job security. And I don't want to be the bearer of bad tidings. It's just the reality. Nobody is safe when the members aren't making any money. Let's just stop right there. You get a paycheck. And some of you actually have benefits. And right now, that's something to be jealous of. More importantly, some of you are doing, you know, you work, you know, all the time, but they don't see that you work all the time. As such, they're working all the time and they're not getting anything for it. This is an environment in which they're very envious and jealous of the fact that you do have some level of stable income, which they do not. More importantly, in good times, they never want what you've got. True? Absolutely. So when I'm looking at this double-edged sword, it is a double-edged sword for you. And it's very important for you to understand where they're coming from and what the underlying anger may be about. The other thing is that, you know, when it comes to the time right now, they've got far too much time on their hands. This is a time for reinvention. And I have utilized that concept at my brokerage firm. I have over 100 agents. I've got 4 offices, great bunch of folks. But I'm going to tell you that a lot of them, even my top producers, are not making a fraction of what they used to make, and some are actually making nothing. With that, as a business owner, I have to create some energy. And the energy that I have to create has to be something that engages their passions and their talents without costing any money, number one, but that sucks up some of their time. So, because if they have too much time on their hands, they start getting a little creative. And in a bored environment, that is just insane. Okay? You need to funnel the creative energy in a very positive way. What I've done, and you may want to consider a mirror of this in some other fashion, is now's a great time to go through all the rules, the responsibilities, the bylaws, you know, all the crap that nobody wants to deal with. Okay, let's get serious. I go through policies and procedures right now, and let's understand that I know that at the time we made our policies and procedures, we were working with the best information we possibly had at that moment in time. But every day that goes by, stuff changes, and there's new information. Well, you are facing the same thing, and I've looked at some of your bylaws, and some of them are just really crappy. Okay, you got Band-Aids on top of Band-Aids in there that you don't really need. And when it hits the fan, you can't rely on them because there are clauses in there that actually bump up against each other. That's a problem. Now is the time to utilize some of your brain talent that's available in your board areas and get them in there to start looking at some of that. And go through all of the systems, all of the mechanical stuff that's very important. Now, you know, some of you, and I'm reading your body language, I read body language pretty well, are like, well, I can't be bothered with that. Well, fine, bye-bye. Okay? I'm not here to kid the kidder. I got no time for that, and neither do you. The stuff that I'm going to lay out for you is coming from my heart, coming from my head, and coming from experience. So if there's some nuggets in here that is going to help keep your butt out of trouble, I say use it. But I got to tell you, if you're not prepared to put in a little extra effort at this point in time, it's going to bite you later. Because this is the time they need to be busy. So every committee, every initiative, everything, it's a great time to do strat planning. This is an absolute essential time to do leadership training, and I'll talk about that. And you don't have to spend a lot of money, but I'll tell you, you better do it the right way. And otherwise, you've just wasted everybody's time. So with too much time on their hands, you have to help them channel that energy. Then some of them may actually have a personal issue with you. Okay, let's review. This is a very dangerous scenario, and one that should not be underestimated, because this is the one, if they get into a position of power, will make it their life's mission to get rid of you. I have seen this over and over and over again. There was one scenario in which I actually saw one of them coming up the line and told the association executive, if you don't get rid of her, she's going to get rid of you. And it's kind of intriguing, especially based on the fact that I am a realtor. Even when I come into a board, the members tell me all sorts of stuff they may not tell you. Sometimes they try sending me confidential emails, which I will always blind copy you on. Because I don't like anyone that will say nice things to your face and stab you behind the back. You know, pretty much what you see is what you get with me. Don't get me wrong. If I'm not in your corner, I'll tell you I'm not in your corner. There'll be no surprises. You won't have to worry about that. But if I tell you that I'm there to help you, I meant it. Well, I don't like it when some of these leaders come up the line, and then leaders in quotes, not real leaders. And what they'll do is they'll start creating their own little power teams in the background, and they think I'm one of their allies. And that is when, you know, I start cloaking myself and making sure that you understand what's coming down. I get phone calls from members, which I can't stand talking to them, because it's all about them. You know, really. And I don't do personal therapy, you know. You know, oh, I got to talk to you right away. You know, forget it. I'm not calling you. You know, and so I'll say, no, you got to put it in writing. You got a request of me. You want to know something. You put it in writing. I make them put it in writing. That way I can forward it all over the place. I'm not an idiot. I wasn't born yesterday. So, you know, if they have a personal issue with you, I'm going to tell you that's number one on the hit parade for you to worry about. And I'll be posting this for you on my website, okay? So you don't, you know, have to worry about that. They all want to fix what's wrong with the board. Oh, heaven help us. You know, when I'm looking at talent to field a team, I do like the person that has some level of anger. I don't really look at that person as being a problem necessarily. Sometimes they're just unenlightened, and they can be rechanneled, okay? But some people are honestly too stupid to live, okay? That's a totally different thing. And so when I'm looking at that problem person, you know, now we have to insulate them and manage them, and we have to make sure that there's a voice of reason that's the last voice in their head. They require an extensive amount of handling if, in fact, they're on the dark side. If they're on the light side, where they can be enlightened, they actually become a very good ally on the board, because they'll actually be one of your better defenders. So never be afraid of the person who's casting stones directly at you, because at least you know who the enemy is. And sometimes that enemy can be turned around and be a very strong ally. It's the one that's the yes person that you have to worry about. That's the dangerous person. The one that'll say yes to your face. Yes, you're right. Yes, you're... And you'll hear it in the background where they will be creating a problem. Do not underestimate this, because that's the one that'll get you. That's the one. Anger has passion in it, so if it can be channeled, that's not a bad thing, okay? And it's important for us to make sure that we really keep them accountable, okay? There was a problem recently in which one particular board was starting to implode. And I do a lot of, well, a lot, I do some, against my will, mediation and interventions with leadership. I'm paid well for that, by the way, because it's really a pain. But in this particular scenario, you know, it was the case of a past president that was not going to go quietly. Know what I'm talking about? And was making some comments about, and I'll refer to it shortly, about, you know, the association executive, the CEO, their health, how busy and tired they look, things like that. And, you know, you've got a manipulative personality here that is, you know, trying to drag everybody along. And it looks like it's very innocent, but honestly, it's really not. So when I'm looking at the person that wants to fix the board, they come in a couple of different shades. One is they'll be all well-meaning, they'll be carrying the American flag, you know, they'll do it for right and might, and that's a problem. The other one is uncloaked completely, and I had dinner with that one recently. And that one said, oh, we got a problem with that, I'll fix that. You know, she's president now, so obviously everything belongs to her. And I was like, you know, and here's where the accountability comes in and sometimes where it helps to know the players. I looked her dead straight in the eye and said, that's not your job. That's not your job. Your job is to have a conversation with your CEO about what the potential solutions are and for the team to come to the conclusion as to what the resolution is. But this is not your job to fix it. And so she says, well, you know, I don't like someone on staff and I'm going to get rid of them. And I said, that's not your job. So I'm looking at the other board, the fix-it person that was cloaked, and they were there, and they're saying, you know, I'm going to create this furor out there where we're going to sign a whole bunch of petitions, past president, of course, and now we're going to go in there, and I'm going to demand that we have a board meeting, and it be open, and all the board meetings should be open. And I ran into her at an event recently. And I looked her dead straight in the eye and says, what the hell are you thinking? She said, well, you know, we want transparency. I said, oh, gag me. What are you talking about, transparency? There's no transparency on a board of directors. Did you forget that? And she took a step back. And I could see the body language. She was puffing up. I said, don't go doing that on me. I said, you know better than that. You've been trained better than that. And she backed down and I said, you know I'm right. She goes, yes, I do. I said, well, then you make an apology call. You know, the problem is you can't do that. You need strong leadership in the background that's able to make the call just like I make the call. That says, what the hell are you thinking about? And that is what's going to help you. You need to get some of your allies, and you need to get them together. I'm going to give you a little caution on that, because honestly, if you've got one foot on banana peel and the other one out the door, they will not save you. I'm sorry. You need to know that. But when you've got some rumblings in the board, the best thing that you can do is have a highly respected past and current leaders who will hold the other ones currently in their positions in check. And if you cannot do that, that's going to create a burden of responsibility for you, because if you start saying all that stuff, you could lose your job. I got nothing to lose. As a past president, if I were called in, and I have been called in by my CEO to say, you know, could you talk to this person? It's important. I know what it means. I go in there, I sit down, and I talk to them. Because they don't understand what they're doing. You've made an assumption that they understand their job. They don't know squat. They know how to do their real estate business. And some of them who are on your board are actually losing their real estate businesses. So they're going to save you instead. If that doesn't make you want to reach for a bottle of pills and a bottle of booze, I don't know what will. Okay? This time on the hands, I'm going to fix that mentality. That's going to be the problem. That is really one of the big signs we'll talk about. You've always got people who think you're spending their money foolishly. And that's why the budget does need to be explained. You need to have someone who is lucid to explain reserves, restricted funds, dedicated funds, because this is the environment that they want their $1.98 back. You know it, and I know it. They've got their hands out saying, what have you done for me lately? And honestly, this is our fault, and I'll tell you why. We do not surcharge in some format the interlopers as they come in. We always penalize the people who stay in the business, not the ones that jump in and jump out. I want you to think about that next time you got a good budget cycle, which is probably not now. Okay? But when you think about it, every time this business starts getting good, you got people coming out of the woodwork joining the board. The minute it gets bad, they're out. You've spent all the money or you haven't planned well because we don't remember what goes up goes down. And then at that point, we start charging the people who survived. At what point does that make sense to you? I say, strip them clean when they come in the door. Now, a lot of them don't know what your job is. You actually have to resell yourself all the time. It's kind of like what I have to do in my real estate company when I have to re-recruit my own agents. You know, I'm not entitled to have them. I have to earn them every day. And really that's the job of, you know, you, is to help people understand by educating them from the committee member all the way up what your roles and responsibilities truly are. They don't understand it. That's why some of you are treated like secretaries. It's because you haven't told them what your job really is. And, you know, this is training. That's all that is. So we'll talk more about training. And also, you know, we talked about the paycheck. So when we're looking at all of this, let's kind of keep some things in mind. First of all, I just need to make a very straightforward comment. Sorry if it's harsh, but it's true and it comes right from my heart. Some people need to go away. Some who call themselves association executives, EOs, EVPs, and CEOs are not good, and they need to go away. They don't take this seriously. They think this is a 9-to-5 job. They don't realize it's a career. They don't understand that this is an investment and that it is a very special career path. Some of them have embezzled. Some of them have misappropriated members' funds. And some of them have used the credit card in inappropriate ways. I go on record by saying those are the people that need to go, and they need to go now. They embarrass all of us. And that is why you're not trusted, because when that happens in a state, everyone starts looking at everybody else. And that's the problem. It's time to clean up our own industry. So let's proactively look at some of the positive things that an individual can do so that they can, I'm not going to say ensure, but at least increase the odds on why they would be there. Number one is invest in your own career skills. Let's start with this. When I go around and I do leadership training, I always help the members understand and the leaders understand why it's important to budget you for conferences like this. They don't really realize what this conference is about. And it's important for you to share not only the program that you've gone through, but any other course material that you're taking so that you can elevate your managerial and business skills to keep their organization out of harm's way back home. When they begin to understand it, what you really have to do this well. That is when they begin to understand who you are as a professional and now respect or, you know, try to respect what you do as well and what you bring to the table. That's when you start moving off the receptionist and secretarial side into our most important valued business partner. Huge, absolutely huge, okay? But here is what I'm going to say back, and that is just because someone's not funding you doesn't mean that that is now not your responsibility. And I think for those who have not made it here, that's a message you should be bringing back to your colleagues, is it is their responsibility to know what the hell they're doing. If the board appreciates what you're doing, all the better. If they're willing to fund it or underwrite it, fantastic. But just because they're not doesn't mean that you're absolved. You want to make it in this business and go to the highest levels and ensure that if something happens, you have another place to go. That's your responsibility. I call it college, professional development. That's what this is all about. So if you want to be at the top of your game, you got to invest in your own game, okay? You've got to know the real estate business. I've heard some AEs talk very casually, and one very, you know, arrogantly, I might add, made a comment to me one time, and that is, oh, I don't need to know what they do. You are a freaking idiot. You can't run my organization if you don't know what I do. You don't understand my struggles. You don't understand agency. You don't understand business. You think you're able to run the company? I don't think so. Yes, you need to know my business. And more importantly, you need to know my business issues. Because how can you be my advocate at the organization if you don't? You know, a real estate transaction is a really complicated thing. It is not easy because we deal with people, we deal with personalities, and honestly, we are on call 24/7, 365. That's difficult. And if you can't have some level of compassion for that, I don't think you're the right person to watch after what my industry is all about. You've got to understand what I do. You've got to understand the depth of the dynamics of what is happening in this industry. And that includes now the business issues themselves. You've got to understand them better than we do. How can you run our organization if you don't understand the dynamics of all of that? You can't. Don't kid yourself. You are not an administrator. You're an advocate for the industry. That's something totally different. And an advocate for us. So when I'm looking at it, you've got to have some skin in the game, because without it, it's not going to work. Also, make sure that you really cultivate some very good professional contacts for you. You never know when you're going to need them or when you're going to need to rely on them. So that is something very proactively that you can do as well. And set very clear mutual expectations of how everyone's going to work together. There is no substitute for a good policy manual. However, realtors don't read. When did we forget that? They're not going to read a policy manual. I'm glad it's there, and you need it, clearly. But it's almost like periodically you need to take some sections and go through it with them because they do not understand that. Hell, half of them don't even read the bylaws. You've had members that have said, oh, those really aren't that important, right? Sure, I got a call from an association exec last week that says, I'm really at the end of my rope because every time I say, no, you can't do that, that's in the bylaws, the president says, oh, we really don't need to pay attention to those. And the rest of the leadership team agrees. You just think about that one little statement there. How long do you think that's going to last? Not very long. She won't be there very long. Help your members understand what your job entails and insist on leadership training. So let's kind of talk about leadership training. There are certain expenses They're really important. And if there is no annual leadership training, you get what you got because you asked for it. There are plenty of state resources. You've got fabulous talent in all of your states. I know all of your state associations and your provincial ones as well. You've got some amazing talent there that, you know, fine. You don't want to call in a consultant and pay them. I certainly understand that because money is definitely stretched. But you can't skip the step. Every single year, you can't skip the step. Because they know how to sell real estate, they don't know how to run a board. And although most of them have very pure intentions, I promise you they'll screw it all up. Because they don't know any better. Now, when leadership training is done annually, what that does is to get everybody on the same page. They understand what the real rules are. They hear them instead of having to read them. And I'm not talking about the fluffy leadership training. Let me be very specific. You know, what's a leader? What leadership is? No, they need to know how to do their job. They need to know how to run a meeting. And not just Robert's rules. We need to take them through the process. We need to help them understand that board meetings are not open. That's not a general member meeting. That minutes need to be sterile. That the president does this. The president-elect does this. The treasurer does this. The board members do that. Not that, just that. If you don't have that type of training every single year, you have no frame of reference or context for them to operate under. It has to be right between the eyes, very specific. And then here's what happens. And I've, you know, there are a lot of success stories out there. Every single year they have it. And what they do now is grow a culture that understands what the common rules are. And so then when someone starts going off into the twilight zone, everyone else knows it, outs them, and they lose credibility. The people that veer off in the twilight zone are the ones that are out there to fire you. If you can't put those two things together, you're missing the point. That is job security. Because for the first time, they understand not only what your job is, but how everybody comes together. A lot of boards say, you know what, this is very expensive. You know what? There is a cost of doing business. Budget for it all you can. Get together regionally and share somebody. There's lots of good folks out there. Okay? Work with your state association. Everyone throws money on the table to get it done. But I will tell you, there's no substitute for it. This is a half day. This is a day. This is not something that should be an option. This is a requirement. Any questions or concerns before I go on? Yep. First name.
Linda.
Hey, Linda. No, they don't. So let me repeat the question. Who's the leadership training for? You know what? There's a lot of different formats. I'm only going to speak for myself based on the people that I've worked for and the organizations I've worked for. It could be just your board of directors and your leadership team. I like including staff. And if I have a preference, I like including anybody else that has an interest. And the reason for that is, you know, first of all, you want to make it as broad-based as possible. The more people that know what the right way is, the easier it's going to be for you. You know, I mean, I clearly tell them that personnel committees are a very dangerous thing. I tell them all their legal liabilities, which, you know, is important. Those are things that have to be covered. They don't realize that if they're asleep at the switch, that there is personal liability in that. They don't understand that the minute they do not follow their bylaws, the mothership offers them no protection in errors and omissions. They don't understand that. They don't understand that the minute they start meddling in your personal contract or anything, or your, you know, your staff or something, they don't realize that their house is on the line. Well, you know, you need someone to kind of lay it out there, and it can't be you, because they're not going to believe you. You know, you need someone from the outside to come in and do it. Someone at a higher level and the state of organization, you know, something like that. This will save you. You can't afford not to do it. So the more the merrier. And I will tell you, you're going to get the right people come to the table. The problem is that a lot of board of directors are laden with moldy oldies and dead presidents. That ain't going to work. Because all they want to do is protect the past. You can't get anybody new that has any good worth to them, and the cream won't come through because these people can't even make a freaking business decision. You got someone on a board that hasn't sold a pencil in 30 years? You don't think that that attaches itself to your credibility? I don't want to belong to a board like that. I don't want them making decisions for me. You just lost all the good people. What? So that can help you. Okay? Other questions or concerns? Are we a little shy? Okay. Let's go then. One more thing on the leadership stuff, okay? You got, if you can incorporate at the very least a leadership model that's beyond, you know, I am the president, I think you'll be a whole lot better off. If the president is put on a pedestal, you're in trouble. The leadership team should be on the pedestal. Group decisions, okay? It's not the president that sets the agenda. It's the leadership team that sets the agenda with the CEO. You know, what makes the agenda? What doesn't make the agenda? The minute you give a president the power to take center stage alone, you are so screwed. That is an old leadership model that serves no purpose in an environment like now. I'm going to have you reflect and kind of think about it. If you want to contact me later in an email or whatever and ask questions, I'm fine with it. But understand, if you enable the president to be the seat of power, you just bought the trouble you were looking for. If the leadership team collectively makes decisions and discusses everything prior to your board meetings or your major events, I will tell you, everyone will be on the same page. They will have less problems with you, and no one person is going to be able to drag you down. That is a very important point. No one person will be able to drag you down. Now, if you've disappointed all of them, well, that's a different thing. But I submit to you that you've got a balance of personalities when you have a leadership team that is really going to be very helpful in providing balance for discussions, for decisions, and, you know, major work. That will be your savior in the long run. So, ensure that leaders are engaged in state and national, and you need to be engaged in state and national as well, because there are real serious ramifications if they're not. Part of the problem in some of the boards is that either the AE is way ahead of the curve or way behind the curve, and I'll, you know, address that in a little while, but the members cannot be allowed to be myopic. There, you have probably a certain core group that would love nothing better than to keep it the way it was in 1960. Would you agree? Yes. Change is very difficult for people. And how odd is it? Because we're in an industry of constant change. So what they try to do on a board level is, because there is so much change on the real estate side, what they attempt to do at that point is to create a constant insulation environment on the board side, which is dangerous, and not helpful. With you being involved in state and national, which is essential, cultivating good, strong relationships with your state association and your national association and the players that are there, and helping your leaders come up, that's all the board, by the way, because some of them would prefer not to. It's getting all of them involved on a state level, making sure that you're and encouraging appointments for them on a state level. The more perspective that they have on a state level and then subsequently a national level, the better your association and you will be in taking steps forward to keep pace with what's happening out there. We live in exponential times. And in these times of exponential information, change, rules that are, you know, evolving constantly, issues that are mutating all the time, the members, especially now, could really benefit by all of this. More lunch and learns, more open forums, stuff that doesn't cost any money, brown bag stuff, where they just learn about it. Sometimes maybe it's you going to them, getting out of your office and going to see them. Because if we can help them understand where they fit in the universe, they are more apt to then make decisions and consider debates about issues that are outside their comfort zone. That's what this is about, having discussions that are outside the comfort zone. There is a fallacy out there that realtors are apathetic. That's a bunch of crap. We have failed to engage them. And now more than ever is when they need it. So as I look at this leadership model and the need for all of this, you're very much an integral part of it. And don't deny that, okay? Any questions before I start getting into the warning signs? Some of these may be happening to you now. Some of them may not, so just kind of watch out for them. Some of them have happened to your friends. This was a section that I actually had a lot of broad-based input from a lot of my association executive friends in the field. I had, you know, put out a little call that basically said, kind of wondering what you believe that some of the warning signs are. And I've got... And so they fall into certain categories, and actually they're kind of common sense, but sometimes we don't really recognize them. Okay, so let's look at some. I got about three or four slides of these because I had so much wonderful input. So let's kind of look at them. Let's start with the new association executive. Oh my Lord. You know, there's some big lies that board of directors tell people when they're hiring them. I've been on three search committees, one a local, one at state, one a national. And, you know, it's kind of interesting when we interview some. First of all, I have to tell you, members don't understand employer-employee law. Could you please understand that? They need some guidance. I remember one of the first ones that I was in, it was on a, you know, a state level. And I thought I'd be pretty clever. And I had a whole list of questions. And I had some attorney in back of me looking over my shoulder going, oh no, oh no, oh no, no, no. You know, I was left with, and what is your name? You know, because I'm thinking, okay, we're going to ask if you're healthy, you know. You know, normal stuff. You know, how's your family? You know, where are, you know, all this. Well, they don't understand. They're independent contractors. They don't know how to manage employees. They haven't the faintest idea. To have a bunch of realtors on a personnel committee is like, that's like tripping. They don't have employees. And those that do don't even treat them well. We don't know what it's like. So, you know, they don't understand the context of all of this. Now, let's say that they have had an association executive there for quite some time. They've gotten used to him or her. And then they put out the call for a new, a new one. Let's see who we get coming to the table. And then they will tell you what I consider to be the most egregious lie. We want a change. Are you crazy? They don't want a change. They're looking for the same personality that they had, just in a new body. They don't want change. A lot of the firings that I see happen are when someone new comes into the position that someone had for a very long time. They don't make it very long because they actually believed that. Well, they want to change. No, they don't. They really don't want change. And they certainly don't want it from you. They don't even want to change themselves. Okay? Now, if they really are seriously, let's look at 1 out of 10 now. 1 out of 10 may actually mean it. Because the other one wasn't even good. Let's get serious. They were either behind the curve, they didn't, you know, understand the business, now they're going into another direction. Well, you know what? I would be testing that a lot of different ways to see how serious they are. And that is, I'm not coming here unless we have a strat plan. I'm not coming here unless we have a full audit. I'm not coming here unless I have a job description. And I want to know how often that I'll be reviewed. And more importantly, who will be reviewing me and what I'll be measured against. I'm surprised that, you know, people would just go into a position not expecting certain things in return. Because if you haven't carved that out, you're not going to be able to get it back later. It's like the genie's out of the bottle. And it's going to be hard to work toward that. So when we look at this, if you're brand spanking new, I'm going to tell you, get all the training you possibly can. Don't, you know, take anything at face value that they're telling you. I mean, I'm going to be honest about you. And you've got to get some really good mentors in the business and make sure you align yourself with the cream of the crop so that you learn the business properly so you can deliver the services that they truly need and help them understand why they need it. Okay? So it's kind of a sticky position. Do some of them make it? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Some of them make it just fine. But, more often than not, they treat you like a secretary. I'm not even going there. I'm going to say if they're treating you like a secretary, you're allowing it. That's your baggage, not theirs. They hire and fire your staff. Okay. As long as they understand the legal personal liability associated with that, then you're fine. If they don't, you're in trouble. Okay? We actually have most of the lawsuits, if you will, and most of them are either settled or they don't go actually to the end, and I'll explain why in a moment. But when there is a dispute on the hiring or a firing, it's really, that resides solely within the responsibility of the CEO, not any of the members for sure. I'd be looking at the bylaws and I would see what it says with regard to that. Because do you really need me, who has no employees whatsoever, to be handling your employees? I mean, kind of think about that. All right. And, you know, now, fine, there might be a bylaw that says, you know, who gets to call on you. You know, you're the head. Yes, we get to hire or fire you, but who is it? Is it just the president? I hope not. It better be about 5 or 6 people. It better be 5 or 6 people that you actually work with. I mean, that's even more important. See, I didn't understand the value of an association executive CEO until I actually came up the chairs. Because from the outside, you don't really understand what the position is. I didn't understand the value until I looked at that most important business manager and how I aligned with them in a leadership capacity. That's when I knew how valuable they were. Well, I am capable at that point of at least giving input on whether that person is doing a good job or not. But I still need something to measure it by. So is it the strat plan that you're measured by? Because if you don't even have a strat plan, what are they measuring you by at all? That is where you are perched on the cliff, because now your life and your career hang in the balance depending on how I feel on a particular day. Do you really need that? Or might it be more appropriate to take a much more proactive step and make sure that there is not only a time frame in which they need to review you, how they need to review you, who would be reviewing you, and what they're going to be measuring you against? That creates some context for the discussion for the leaders so that you are looked at fairly. And the situation is managed properly. So just reflect on what you got going now, because if you really think you're there or you're coming there, maybe some of these things you can put into place so at least it can prevent disaster later on. Because I will tell you, when that pathological personality starts rising and it becomes their job to say whether you stay or go, and you haven't blended the leadership model so that it's a group decision, your life hangs in the balance based on a pathological personality. That's a pretty scary place to be. Questions or concerns on that? Okay, we've got a little hands. Let's go here and then I'll go there. First name? Yeah. Hey, Christy, go for it. You know, it shouldn't be necessarily board of directors. Okay, let me repeat it. Let's talk about the personnel committee. Honestly, anytime I teach leadership, I hear there's a personality committee, I start breaking out in hives. Because they don't have any context for employee-employer relationships. This is something where if, in fact, you're going to have a personnel committee, maybe they need some additional training. They don't understand HR. Do they? No. They're clueless. They got no clue. So they don't know what the context is for evaluating someone. You know, and look at the holistic part of it. You know, I do have employees. I have a lot of employees based on my size of my organization. And, you know, we set timetables for reviews. We set, and you know what? Because I believe that if someone is not meeting expectations, that they deserve fair warning so that they can either have a discussion about it or be able to internalize that and correct the path. I hire slowly, fire quickly. That's Disney's model, believe it or not. Hire slowly, fire quickly, and the day that people are interviewed is the best day you're ever going to see them. It ain't getting any better than that. Okay? So, you know, when I'm looking at that, if the personnel committee is there, maybe here's some of the questions should be asked right now. Do we really need one? Why do we have it? And do they have the tools and the skills to do their job? If not, you do a Hail Mary. And do they really have the right to say whether Sally answers the phone right or not? Isn't it your job as the CEO to say she stays or goes? I mean, it's like my mother coming into my business telling me who should get a raise. Follow-up question?
I do it. Okay, so they review
They review the CEO. That's it. Like you, love you, hate you, bye-bye. Okay? But, you know, how can you run a staff team if you are micromanaged? And when you look at some of the lawsuits that are in the field, the lawsuits that are in the field have to do with members interfering with the hiring and firing process. I submit to you, more often than not, it's going to be one of your dead presidents. And in one of the ones that I heard about, one of the dead presidents, now there is a lawsuit going on, and they're in discovery in a situation in which an employee was fired, okay? And what ended up happening in that, you know, based on what I heard in the background, was that one of the dead presidents was actually funneling documents to the fired employee because they liked her. When I go teach leadership training, I tell them, see that relationship? First of all, that's unholy. But second of all, what the member doesn't realize is when push comes to shove, that former staff member is going to throw them under the bus. They don't think about that. They have no clue. And they also don't know if they don't do something correctly and legally according to how employer-employee relationships are handled within your state by your state law, that there's no errors and omissions covering them. Their house is on the line. Believe me, when members understand that, they start paying attention. That's a different environment. Go right ahead. Yes. I believe in contracts too, Carla. Tell us how you really feel, Carla. That's cool. What you also need in there is a confidentiality clause. Okay? Because that is also what I see when I go out in the marketplace and I work with them. Most of your members believe that they have a right to know what you and everyone else is paid on staff. And, you know, although the board of directors and the leadership may have the right, unless it's in writing somewhere in which they don't, it begs the question, why do they need to know? Okay? Yes, go right ahead. They had the right to go through all of that. That's correct. That's right. And that's a good thing for you. Thank you, Carla. Okay, Steve, go ahead. That's right. Now, Steve, let me ask a question back. All of this is on the RARE site anyway. Don't you have like sample contracts and all sorts of things up on that site? Resource. Mm-hmm. You bet. I love that. I go into that all the time. It's all best practices. I think it's the best resource, actually, that you have. So let's look at a couple of other highlights here when, you know, you've got fate knocking at the door. You're micromanaged to death. Again, absent training, this is just going to happen because they're control freaks. So, you know, you borrowed this trouble. So that's why I say if you can just do annual training, you will be so far ahead of the curve. Your skills are challenged all the time, your integrity, your character, whatever. Well, you know, they're not, you know, they see a lot of stuff happen in the field, but it's a good to have a check. And they think the bylaws are merely a suggestion or an option. That is a big clue that you've got a problem and you don't need to be there. Okay. Your president-elect is a pathological eagle-ridden wingnut who expects attention. You can see a legend in their own mind coming down the alleyway, okay? I see them all the time. The halls at NAR are littered with these people. Wow. You know, that's right up there. We have, you know, I'm not going to say where. There's one president that I know of that just keeps being president all over again, over and over. And he is so insecure. You know, it's kind of sick. It's pathetic, actually. All right? People should be moving in, moving up, and moving out. And that is really just the evolution of all of this. You've got leadership that overreacts to minor mistakes. I think one of the quotes I got from one of the association executives that I had gotten input from was, when they start questioning your choice of napkin color. I thought that was great. That's these are top 10 ways to lose your job, okay? Secret meetings. Steve alluded to it. I think that's marvelous to have it in the contract. Calling the board attorney without your knowledge. Calling NAR without your knowledge. Calling me without your knowledge. I get lots of calls. Or contacting other staff people. In the training, here is where it's important for the staff to be there, because if the staff actually goes through leadership training, they understand that someone who appears to be normal and nice may not be. And I see staff getting sucked into the vortex here, and this, you can derail that by just good training, okay? Good training all the way around. Hesitation to booking your travel advance. And they're happy that you're going on vacation. Who mentioned vacation? I thought that was great. They're happy you're going on vacation, think you've been working really too hard, and oh, you look so tired. This is one of the ways, there's a cloaking way. This is manipulation. I'm going to put it in the category of manipulation here, okay? Because I've just encountered that recently in a variety of settings in which the person who is making all the comments actually wants your job. And so they're telling everyone else how tired you look. Or you've got so, you're overburdened. Those are some very serious warning signs to kind of keep in mind, okay? Some other things that are going to be a huge error in judgment on your part, so you have to kind of keep it in mind. If you're not recruiting people to move up, that's your fault. That is very much your job to... As you're working with people and members on committees and work groups and task forces, your role is to help identify where the diamonds in the rough are and to give them or help them with opportunities to grow and shine. Okay? I've been mentored by the best, and I will tell you, I would be nothing if it weren't for the CEOs that were my guardian angels. That's very important. You think you can make it through a bad leader and you delude yourself that you can weather two of them. You can't afford even one. You better make sure that if you've got a weak leader, I'm going to take the weak leader first and then I'm going to take the wing nut next, okay? You got a weak leader, you better back them up on both sides with someone who's strong. I like creating a sandwich, okay? That's really what it is. You've got strong, and then you've got the weak one. And if the weak one has a good heart, now they can kind of go with emotion, and they're going to be just fine. They'll actually grow through it. They'll, personally excel. They'll be part of a team. It's going to be a very nice arrangement for you. You get two bad ones back to back, I feel bad for you. You don't know how much I feel bad for you, because you're going to be counting not days, you're going to be counting hours. And that's the email that I get. OMG, there's 360 days left, 12 hours and 13 minutes. When I'm getting those phone calls, here's the suggestion that I'm going to make. First question I said is, when's the last time you had leadership training? Okay? But, sometimes the answer is, recently. I'm like, well, you know what? You better do it again. Seriously, do it again. Or then if you haven't, you better get it done. We're not longer focusing on the bad one, but if you've got two bad ones, now we've got to bring some stability back into that board. You need people who are rooted in business, solid business, not filing bankruptcy, actually know what the hell they're doing. Okay? And the more brokers and business owners that you get on the board, the better it's going to be to keep the two nutcases in check. And then you better make sure you've got two strong ones backed up after that. Your recruiting is essential. Absolutely essential here. The other thing that you've got to kind of really watch ahead is, where are you in relation to them? That's where, if you can get them to state meetings and national meetings, get them plugged in onto committees and work groups and task forces, and, you know, partner with your state association executive staff and CEO, this is going to be a very good thing, because it's going to help them grow, but it's also going to move them in the right direction. They will be more inclined to align with you on business issues and understand that you're there to be their conscience, their voice of reason. That's why you need to be plugged in. That's why you need to understand their business, and that's why you need to understand their business issues. Because you're really the voice of reason for us that says, wait a minute. You could do that, but we've got a state initiative that is counterproductive to that completely, and a national one that really looks at it this way. Why don't we take a step back and let's provide some research on that so you have some perspective? That's the role of the AE, to make sure that we have perspective. What can take the pressure off you is if you get them in the groove so they have their own perspective. Now you can have a really good conversation based on what did national say, what did state say. That now makes a whole lot more sense. So being proactive is going to take you an awful long way. If you don't understand that importance of state and national, that's, you know, it sucks to be you, because I got to tell you, that's the cornerstone right there. And you don't mentor. You got to mentor future leaders, and you think you're bored. You think it's your board. Oh, good Lord. I've had people say to me, and you know, clearly the wind is apparent at that point. Well, I only work 9 to 5. In what universe do you only work 9 to 5? Seriously. This is not a job, it's a career. And when staff or members need you, I'm not saying you don't need your personal time or you shouldn't have your personal time, but you know what? You're leading a huge team. That's really what you are. You're the team leader. And the team leader has responsibilities that go beyond a clock. So when I look at this mentoring, leading, you know, this is all about you providing inspiration and guidance and direction and hand-holding and, you know, good delegation and all of that, all right? That is what's so most important. Very, very important. And you aren't adaptable to change your new direction. That is also a peril that you have. And actually, that's one of the signals that it's time for you to go. I will say that these are things that we cannot afford. You know, there are times in which I've come into a board and we've either done a strat plan or doing a business plan, or we're talking about leadership training. And, you know, and I get a briefing, you know, I'll be honest, since it's just us here. I get a briefing before I come in. They don't know that. I want to sit one-on-one with you, try and get some insight. I need to know who needs to be killed, you know, who needs to be shot down, who really needs a chance, what some of the background issues are. If I get a sense you're the problem, I'm going to actually have some serious conversations with you. And I think any good consultant would. Because when I hear, well, we don't want to change any of this, or we don't want to change any of this, I don't want to hear that from you. Your job is to go wherever they want to go. Your job is to take them wherever they need to go. And your job is to help them understand the difference. But your job is not to tell me, or any consultant coming in trying to help you and the organization, that you want status quo. That's not very helpful for anybody. So, you know, let's understand some of these warning signs are warning signs for you. Most of them are for your members, however. Any questions or concerns before I start going in a different direction? Is that Anne Marie? You know, you've got a real cast of characters there. And, you know, I really thought that, you know, we had settled, we'd gotten everybody back on the same page when you did your little, you know, regional one and everybody came together, the different boards. I mean, you did shared services beautifully. You always do. And it was really a great event. And it gave them an opportunity. And as you remember, we put all the presidents together, all the president-elects together, so they sort of, like, bonded and went through that. And the body language was very interesting that day because, you know, you did have some folks there that were like, you know, I don't want to know. Should you really get involved and give her the heads up? Okay, well, let me ask a couple of questions first. Is she talented? Yeah, I understand. You know, well, first of all, let me just address the nominating committee thing. Anybody who sits on nominating committee absolutely has to go through leadership training. And the reason that I say that is they're only, if they have no context for how the business model and leadership model is of today, they're going to be working on old rules. And this is where they start plugging in the moldy ones or those that, you know, there's some old concepts that, you know, people have to go to this position, then to this position, then to that position, and then, you know, they go up and it's their turn. All of that's crazy. Okay, treasurers never have to go anywhere. That's a different brain. That's not a rung on the ladder. You know, so when I'm looking at her being a placeholder somewhere, if the bylaws allows her to go up, I mean, the bylaws allows her to go up, and that's just the context that everyone needs to understand. As far as you, I would say that from a mentor standpoint, the best thing that you may want to think about doing is just giving her some perspective on making sure she reads all the documents, make sure she understands the issue from all sides, you know, and I would do that more in a team environment than an individual environment. I think that'll give you the duck and cover. Yep. We'll chat later. Okay, we'll drink later. That'll help. Just a couple of, this slide's been up, so let's cover, and then I'm going to start opening it up for whatever questions or concerns that you have as well. This is not the time for lavish, you know, dinners. I know when we go to, you know, D.C., let's just look at D.C. I mean, you know, if you've got a president that should be in the host hotel, I don't care if it kills you, but you get him in the host hotel. You know, I've heard one AE came up to me and said, well, you know what, I got my reservation. And I'm like, well, what about your president and your president-elect? Well, you know, they could take care of their own, and I'm not going to coddle them. I said, you know, did you want to keep this job? I mean, really? Okay? The care and feeding of your leadership is one of your prime responsibilities. Up until recently, when they actually had the AE tracks at all the national conventions, you were merely there to keep us out of the bars, okay? And to make sure we went to meetings. So, you know, now you've got your own track, which is great, but, you know, this is your meeting. So when I look at this, let's not, you know, let everyone go back saying, you know, they ate at a five-star restaurant and had $300 bottles of wine, because that is not going to fly well at home. And you're going to be blamed for it. Okay? Also, start looking at your travel policies to ensure that no one just gets a free ride coming to the events. That there is accountability for that, and more importantly, that they have to do something. There are a certain set of criteria for them to be reimbursed rather than they get a stipend for no reason. This is an area that, first of all, eats up an awful lot of budget money, but also is one of the first things that comes out of fire, and your collateral damage in it. So, you know, kind of really good, take a good peek at it. Members back home don't understand any of this. Before it hits the fan, let's look at a couple of things here. You better own your own phone and your own computer and make sure they're backed up. If the board owns the equipment, you may want to rethink that. Because there certainly was a recent occurrence in which, you know, there was a termination in which the members came in and seized all of the business equipment on a moment's notice, in which the CEO at that point had no recourse, lost all their contacts, lost all of their intellectual property, lost all their personal stuff. This is just a CYA thing for you. You know, fine if they're going to reimburse you for stuff, but honestly, don't be penny wise and pound foolish when it comes to the essentials of your lifeline. All of the contact, you don't need all your contacts gone. Okay? So I don't care how you do it, but make sure that you have access and that, you know, it's in your charge. Help your members understand HR, you know, employer-employee laws. That, I think, is becoming more prevalent but more necessary, because that really is foreign, a complete foreign concept to do. Keep your resume updated at all times. No joke, not kidding around, trying to be real honest here. You know what? You could be here today, gone tomorrow, and honestly, it breaks my heart. Make friends with some headhunters. Know where your next move is. Be prepared to relocate if you're going to stay in this position, or what your next life is going to be. You know, everyone gets sometimes a little complacent. We get a little fat and happy. We believe that, you know, we are going to, that we're here at our will. I assure you that may not be true. Now the question is, what have you done to help yourself? Okay, are you at the top of your game? Have you kept your skills in order? Have you invested in your career? Have you made sure that, you know, you're marketable? Have you kept those relationships up? Are you, you know, are you making those relationships known? Are you keeping yourself open for other opportunities in and outside of the industry? Because with all the protections in place, there's still no guarantee. Some of these protections will actually really help you. So please go back and at least implement something and let me know how you did. Make sure you have a strat plan. The members may not want one. They may not feel that it is financially viable or that it is financially necessary. And we use the term strat like it is some big thing that has to be expensive. Yes, there is a cost involved, but, you know, NAR will come out and at least do one, right? Sure, Alice will come out, Gar was coming out, right? How many took advantage of those? Well, there you go. I mean, at least that gets you going in the right direction. If you haven't, maybe give them a call and see if they can come out and get you started. How about calling your state CEO and seeing what might be available in your state association? We're all there for friends for each other. You know, there are times in which, you know, people will make financial adjustments just to try and accommodate and help get people on the right direction. You know, it's important. Also, you know, I want Deb, for the record, I know you're having your silent auction, and I'd be more than happy to throw two events in there, okay? For free. Absolutely. Absolutely. And if someone's never had leadership training before, and I mean this seriously, I want you to go back and let Deb know. Deb, I will allow for a drawing. As long as they pay for my expenses, I will come and get them started. Okay? One. So, you know, maybe you want to charge for that raffle too, but that's up to you. All right, make sure you have a strat plan, business plan, whatever. There's a lot of people who will help you out. Ensure that you get regular written performance reviews, we've talked about. And don't get too friendly with members. I'm going to be honest about this because, you know what, some people are just, you know, kismet from the day one. But I will tell you that some are not, and they look like they are. You don't need to be bearing your soul to someone that's not going to maintain your confidentiality. So, you know, you've got plenty of opportunities to get other friends. Go find them. And don't go on vacation if there's something wrong. Because that's when they'll be planning to get rid of you. Okay? And now if it does hit the fan, call your lawyer. Call your friends. We'll comfort you as best we can. Take time to grieve, but get your next step in order. You got to get your head straight. And then at that point, review your employment agreement. Don't expect your members to die on the sword for you. They will not. Some friends will, but most of them will not. And give careful thought to whether you want to stay in the field. And this is the reason, I'll tell you why. I see where a lot of contracts have been bought out. And when I get the phone call, people are crying, they're angry, they're very upset. What's the next move? You know, I trust you, all of that. And I'm flattered by that. Please, you know, don't get me wrong. But it hurts. It hurts when you see good people have to go. So, you know, let your friends comfort you, but don't let your anger get in your way. If you're not going to stay in the industry, sue them. Knock yourself out, enjoy yourself, okay? And there, I got to tell you, there are times in which the people that I've talked with had very good reason to sue the board. The problem is, that's short-sighted if you think you're going to stay in the industry. Okay? So you've got to really know what's next. And now when it's not an issue is a good time to kind of think about it. What is next for you? That next could be a year from now. It could be tomorrow. It could be 10 years from now. But what is next? Because you need to start planning in some gentle way for what's next. This is not forever. No one guaranteed it would ever be forever. Some have pretty much made it forever, and I think that's pretty nice. That's really cool, and we're lucky to have you. But that's no guarantee forever. So, any final questions? And then you know what? Was it helpful? Did it help? Thank you. Thank you.